Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-432-6. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
It matters a lot. I think making the playoffs is probably a good idea for us. Hopefully it just all goes well and take one game at a time. I know we have 3 left here, but winning out does do us a favor, so hopefully do that.
Do you guys talk about it, though?
It hasn't been mentioned in here. You know, no one said we got to clinch a playoff spot this weekend, but I think it's just everyone in the building wants to win week in, week out, and that's our main focus. And, you know, whatever prize we get at the end of the tunnel, we'll take it. But, just go out there and hope we get our job done.
Bills right tackle Spencer Brown on the team's ability to clinch a playoff berth with a win in Cleveland on Sunday as we welcome in Spencer German. You can hear him on our Odyssey Sports sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Always have, always enjoy having you on with us, Spencer. And the Bills and the Browns, on paper, this looks like a matchup that should easily go the Bills' way. Don't want to take anything for granted. It is still a home game for Cleveland. But what have you seen here, specifically in the last few weeks, with Shedeur Sanders behind center for this Cleveland Browns squad?
There's been, I think, a mix of good and bad, like a lot of rookie quarterbacks, obviously, as you'd kind of come to expect. You know, I think one of the biggest knocks on him coming out of college was sort of that drifting in the pocket thing that he would do when he was under pressure, and that would lead to sacks that went from, you know, maybe it's a 3 or 4 yard loss to 10, 15 yards. And I think that's something they really made him focus on. And from his first appearance when he came in the second half of that Ravens game, I believe it was week 11, to fill in for Dillon Gabriel, who had suffered a concussion, to his first start 1 week later, you saw him make major strides in sort of eliminating that from his game and stepping up in the pocket more. And so I think that's been one clear positive. I think the other big one is he's clearly not afraid to take shots down the field. And that's kind of given some new life to this offense. That was something they haven't really been able to do much this season before he started playing under center and starting a quarterback for this team. Now, I still think you see the growing pains, though, too. Like his desire to throw the ball downfield, I think, sometimes leads to him holding the ball too long because he wants to make a big play. He wants it all back at once at times when things aren't going right. And sometimes that leads to sacks or, you know, him throwing a pick or, you know, just whatever it might be, or having to throw the ball away. And I also just think, like, there's the challenges of, again, with any rookie quarterback of trying to pick up different things, different looks teams are showing you, you know, simulated pressure and then dropping off into a coverage. I think that sort of got him a little bit last week in Chicago. So there's been some ups and downs. I think he's been, you know, successful in certain areas, and there's reason for optimism and feeling excited about him maybe being something for the future. But still, obviously, a lot to prove, and he's kind of got three games to do it here to talk the Browns at least into him being the guy that they can maybe bank on in 2026.
Spencer, I don't think there's any shame in losing to the Bears. They look to be a playoff team. Explain the Titans game to me, only their second win of the year. How do the Browns give that one away?
Yeah, I think it honestly started with the defense just not being up to the standard in that game. Like, we've come to see this defense become known as one of the best in football, starting with Myles Garrett on up. And, you know, I think that was just kind of a bad game for them. Some of that, I think, was injury-related. You know, they lost Malik Collins, and he's been such an important piece in that defensive line. And I think you saw the Titans, you know, sort of find some success running the football in that game, and they just kind of weren't up to it, that the run defense has taken a little bit back the last couple weeks. I think Malik Collins being gone is part of that. Last week they were also missing a number of guys on other levels, including Denzel Ward, who is such an important part of this team, both obviously in the pass game first and foremost, but also just as a tackler out in open space. So, you know, I think that was an issue for them last week as well. So, listen, this defense is still really good, but I think some of those things have kind of caught up with them, injuries, just the grind of a season. And I always kind of say this about defenses in general, like year to year they can be so different, game to game, you know, like you kind of expect a certain standard for this group, but you know, they've kind of had to carry this team every now and then. That's one of the biggest flaws in this team, right? Is if the defense has a letdown game or they have a bad game, it's the offense has nothing to really give you to sort of keep pace or give you a chance to win. And in that Titans game, they actually did give you a fighting chance and they had a chance to tie the game. But of course, like Kevin Stefanski trying to execute the new sort of age going for two down 14 thing, and it didn't work out. They ended up missing both 2-point conversions, and so they didn't even get to overtime. But it was kind of like a combination of coaching decisions and I think just a bad game for the defense that sort of led to that one ending the way that it did. But I think we were all sort of surprised they lost that one, because I even went into it saying, I don't know how you lose this Titans team with the defense, the Browns defense being as dominant as it is.
So let's talk a little bit more about that Browns defense, because you can't talk about it without bringing up Myles Garrett, who's on the precipice of breaking the sack record. But I know he was dinged up a little bit in that Bears game. So what's his health looking like? And is there a plan? Have you seen any teams this season even come close to neutralizing Garrett in his pass rush?
If I had a plan for stopping Myles Garrett, I probably would be making a lot more money. I don't know if I'd be talking to you guys right now, because I'd have the magic elixir that everybody's looking for. That's the big question, right? Is like, is there a way to slow him down? And I think the way he's playing, where he's at in his career, he's clearly playing the best football of his career. It's just one of those things where some guys are built different. Sometimes you get good on good. Like a couple weeks ago, he was going against Trent Williams and the 49ers, and he did this nasty, like, Euro step around him to get his one sack in that game. And it was just like, Trent Williams is one of the best in the business. And, you know, even he struggled with Myles Garrett. So, listen, I expect the Bills to throw everything Myles' way. They'll chip him, maybe with multiple tight ends on certain plays. They'll give him a lot of attention. They'll put multiple linemen out there on him and try to sort of maybe there's other opportunities to, like, you know, kind of get him upfield and then try to run behind him in the run game. So I'm sure they'll try a lot of different things. Sometimes, you know, it works and sometimes it doesn't. I think in those instances, you just got to kind of tip your cap and say he's just a really, really good player, which I think has been generally the message from a lot of the Bills players and the press conferences that I have seen. You know, I saw Spencer Brown talking about it. I saw Josh Allen talking about it. So I think those guys all kind of understand it. It kind of comes with the territory, and we'll see if he can get the sack record on Sunday.
Rochester native Spencer German, our guest here, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. You can hear his work inside the Odyssey app. Quinshon Judkins, that would be the player going into this, like, all right, if the Browns are going to pull off the upset, we know the Bills give up yardage on the ground. They rank 30th right now in terms of run defense, in terms of yardage. But Judkins' last two games hasn't really gotten it going. Is he wearing down, or is that a product of the offensive line? Your thoughts on Judkins, who he's only gone over 100 yards once this season, Spencer.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much him wearing down. I know everyone talks about the rookie wall, but there's also we also got to remember, like, he started the season a little bit late. Like, he didn't have a training camp. He kind of was gone for that month while he dealt with his off-the-field stuff. So, like, I don't know that that's so much the issue with him. I think it's kind of a combination of, at times, I think he is still learning to see things, a little bit better. And he's not a perfect product in that regard yet. But I also think, this offensive line has gone through so many different iterations. I believe they're on, like, combination number 9 or 10 this season in terms of, like, guys that are going to start. Or they could be this weekend, depending on how things kind of shake out. So, yeah, like, it's been, an assortment of things. Injuries up front have been the biggest one. But you're right, like, the numbers aren't there. Early in the season, he was averaging, I think, like, 3.7, 3.8 yards per carry. Now he's down to, like, 2.6 yards per carry in the last couple weeks. And so it's been an issue. And I do kind of feel like and wonder if this Bills game presents an opportunity to almost like a get-right game for that phase of the offense, which would go a long way, I think, because if this game becomes – you can't run the football because the Bills are sound out to stop it. I don't know that it's a good recipe to have Shador back there throwing the football like 40-plus times either. So I think they probably want to utilize that run game and get it going. Easier said than done with this group right now, but I do kind of have some optimism that maybe this could be the game where he kind of gets back on track. We'll see.
So, Spencer, we spent time talking about Shador. We opened our conversation talking about the quarterback of the Browns, but there's so much around this team at the quarterback position, the head coach, the GM, the future of all of them, Deshaun Watson. How do you see this all playing out here down the stretch and looking ahead to 2026?
Yeah, it all depends on the day you catch me. So it's just kind of funny to say. For me, I feel like I find it hard to believe that they can change nothing. And like that's all fine and good. Like and that's understanding. Ownership has continually said like we trust these guys. We want to see it through with them. They've kind of hinted at this being sort of like a mulligan year because of the Deshaun thing, and the ownership took the blame for the Deshaun thing earlier this offseason as well. And so like there's signs that like they might just kind of try to see it through and give them a chance to correct this thing. But I just think at this, for me, again, it just feels like there's too much wrong right now. There's been games where coaching decisions have cost them this year, and I think those are stains for Stefanski that don't look very good. If it was like to me, I think it's probably time for. I think it's just run its course, and I understand like all the discourse around if Kevin Stefanski gets fired, he would get hired somewhere else pretty quickly, I think, and I understand that. But you can't not make a decision for your organization if you think it's just time based off of like the fear of somebody else getting him. Like I don't think you can operate that way. So for me, like Andrew Berry's not exonerated in this either. Like, yes, this year's draft class has been great with, maybe a potential to find a quarterback in it with Shador, but there's the draft classes before it that have kind of put them in this situation where they don't have a lot of talent at key positions that they've developed over the years. So I think it's all kind of bad right now on that front, and it's probably time for some change. But I said, like, day-to-day it changes in terms of what I think is going to happen versus what I want, what I think should happen versus what I think will happen. Obviously, two very different things. And today, I don't know, like, just in talking with some people and all other media members as well, I wonder if the whole, like, gap year thing and giving them a chance to see it through is kind of the philosophy they'll subscribe to. I mean, it's so hard to understand or predict what Jimmy Haslam's going to do in any situation. This is also the owner who kept Hugh Jackson around after he went 1-31 in back-to-back seasons. So you never really know. I think the biggest thing working against all of this is, like, the timeline. Like, if this was year two for Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, it'd be like, okay, yeah, give them time, fine. But, like, you're in year six, and I'm having a hard time understanding. This is probably the biggest reason why I think they need to maybe move on from somebody or something, because, like, in year six, maybe you're in a position to draft a quarterback next year, but, like, you also need to remake your offensive line. Like, they might be bad again next year. And so if the point of keeping them was we'll get to the other side of this and then next year we'll start winning, okay, I get that, but I don't necessarily think that that's a guarantee they're going to be, like, winning next year either. So if it's another losing season, was this all about, like, getting to 2027 and then this group gets, like, 3 years of just losing to sort of, like, hang out? Like, I don't know. Like, that doesn't add up to me. And at the end of the day, it's, like, a results-based business. So I'm conflicted on this all the time. I think it's probably time to move on. But I also understand, like, I'm not the one making the decision. So, what I think is going to happen and what will happen are two very different things. So, we'll see. I think these next three games do matter in terms of whatever final decision is made there. Sorry for the long-winded answer.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No problem. And Spencer, I know Browns fans have been hurt before, but you got to try again for love, right? You meaning the quarterback here, right? You're in a great position. I don't know if any of these quarterbacks has shown the flash. I think that's the guy that can kind of develop. But the Browns are in this great position if they want to, knowing that, all right, it's the Giants right now at number one, and maybe they pick a quarterback, maybe they don't. Maybe they want to trade out. Vegas at 2, Tennessee's not going to do it. You have that extra first-round pick. Is there a lot of talk about Mendoza? What are your thoughts on him? Or maybe another quarterback that I'm sure that you're keeping your eye on. What are your thoughts about the Browns using the capital this year to select a quarterback come April?
I mean, I think that has to be at the forefront of the conversation, right? For everybody inside the organization, outside the organization, because that's the big, you know, question position they haven't been able to figure out for all these years. I think any conversation about even the future with this regime and all that centers around, well, are they drafting a quarterback or are they trying to build the roster up in other spots first? You know, I'm kind of somebody who subscribes to if the guy's there, and you're in position to draft them, you just got to kind of do it, and you worry about fixing some of the other stuff later. I mean, look at the Patriots, right? Like, they took Drake May last year. It was a bad year. They didn't have a very good offensive line. Receiving core wasn't very good. This year they make some of those, improvements, and now he's a guy that's in the MVP conversation. Maybe that took a hit this past weekend, but, like, you know, the results are there. He's been a good player. So, you know, if they're in that position and they have a chance to draft one of these guys and they do their evaluation and decide – he's our guy, we think this is the franchise guy we've been looking for, then, yeah, I think you absolutely have to pull the trigger. You know, trading up, it would be interesting. I think it would be controversial as well. And that all depends, too, on, like, where this thing falls the rest of the way. You know, if the Giants are there, you know, that's the team that probably is going to be looking to trade back. But if the Raiders are there, they're probably taking a quarterback. So all those things still have to kind of play themselves out a little bit. But, of course, like, yeah, the quarterback conversation is a big one here. I think Mendoza has a chance to be really good. I'm curious to see, like, what he does in the playoff, because you're always going to be judged against the best teams that you play at that level. I'm curious about Dante Moore and what he can do as well. But I also think, you know, I could see Dante Moore going back, because there's always that daunting, he only started 1 year as a full-time starter. Like, is that enough sample size for the NFL? And I think that's a red flag to teams. So it'll continue to be a conversation. We'll see how it plays out. And then there's also the Shador part of it, right? Like, if he plays well these last three games, does he become back into the picture for next year? So it'll be ongoing, but I definitely have some intrigue in the very least at Mendoza as a prospect for 2026.
So Spencer, you mentioned the ownership's mea culpa on the Watson deal, and he's still there. And you mentioned Shador, and he was a fifth round guy. And I keep wondering to myself, is everything going to be like this for the Browns as long as Jimmy Haslam has his spoon in the stew? And will he eventually some point say, I'm just going to let the football guys make football decisions, or is he going to continue to meddle? Because it feels as if his meddling is kind of what leads the Browns down this path of dysfunction.
Yeah, listen, I want to give Jimmy some credit, because I think he is a little less involved at the very least than he used to be. Like, I think there has been tangible evidence that he's changed in that way to a degree. I'm not saying he's not still, you know, making certain decisions or influencing certain decisions, because he's the owner. He has the right to do that as the owner of the team. But I do think, like, especially with this group, like him going out and saying how much he trusts these guys, I don't think that's a fluke. Like, I think he has tried to give these guys kind of the leeway to make most of the decisions themselves and, you know, not necessarily influence everything. But I still think there's moments where you see that influence kind of come out. You know, I can think back to a couple of years, and really, I guess, just like this past year when they hired Ken Dorsey after the 2023 season and fired Alex Van Pelt. Like, Van Pelt was kind of a glue guy for a lot of the offensive players and all those different things. They bring in Ken Dorsey, it goes disastrously. And from my understanding, that was something that was sort of forced upon Kevin. Like, we need you to make a change at OC here. We want to cater the offense more to Deshaun Watson. So he obliged, didn't go well, and then they were back hiring an OC this year, and they obviously chose Tommy Rees. So I think Jimmy has tried to be better about that. But I think, like any owner, maybe not any owner, but a lot of owners, I think sometimes it's hard to sort of keep yourself completely hands-off. And so it's a fair question. Like, if you ask Browns fans that, I think – there is definitely a contingent of Browns fans who feel as long as Jimmy Haslam owns the team, they will never be successful, because they just think he's, you know, whatever it is, a bad omen, or he does meddle too much, or whatever it might be. You know, I respect the fact that I think he's tried to sort of dial some of that back and like the guys he hires and trust them to do their jobs. But, you know, I still think there's a little bit of that going on, and it's very reasonable to wonder if that's going to hold this organization back as long as he's doing those things.
Spencer, do Browns fans look at the period with Baker Mayfield and think they actually did get it right? We were a playoff team. Who ordered the code red on that?
The Baker thing's interesting, because technically, like, Andrew Berry was here when they drafted Baker. He was an assistant before he went to the Eagles and then came back as the full-time main GM here in Cleveland. So I from my understanding, like, you know, Barry was on board with the Baker decision at the time when he was in the organization. So I think he was fine with it. I think I know for a fact that, like, Jimmy and D Haslam apparently, like, loved Baker Mayfield. I think where the rift really started was, well, first inside the locker room. I know, like, him and Miles didn't really get along. I think some of that just kind of goes back to Baker is always somebody who's been outspoken. You know, the infamous helmet game where Miles got into the incident with Mason Rudolph with the Steelers. Baker was on, like, the post game interview right after the game and said, you know, we got to be smarter there. And as you know, like, when players call each other out like that publicly, it doesn't go over well. There's a few other instances where Baker, like, said things about teammates publicly, you know, calling them out for certain things, and that didn't go over well. So I think, like, in the locker room, there was kind of a split. The Odell Beckham Jr. thing, the way that kind of went down, I'm, like, relitigating all this now, but, like, that kind of split the locker room. Like, a lot of people were on Odell's side on that and not Baker's side, and so I think it kind of started there. And then he obviously got hurt that last season he was here, and then, you know, he made some comments at the end of the season about not blocking T.J. Watt in the Steelers game to end that year and how they didn't have a good game plan, and so I think that was kind of like a shot at Kevin Stefanski. And so it just kind of boiled, I think, over into maybe a little bit of rift between head coach and quarterback as well. And Baker's obviously talked about, like, he's been pretty open about the fact that he kind of needed that sort of, like, he needed to mature. He needed something to sort of give him a reality check, and that's what's led to him being successful in Tampa. I will say, like, there was a lot of, like, people, I don't want to say concerned, but, like, watching him early this season and being like, man, we really screwed this up, at least from a fan base standpoint, that, you know, what might have been, like, on board with getting rid of him. But I think he's kind of come back down a little bit. I always thought overall that, like, Baker, you had enough evidence at that point that Baker probably wasn't going to be, like, the guy. But, you know, in terms of where they've gone at that position since, I think it's very fair to say you would take Baker over the Deshaun Watson disaster from a PR standpoint, but also from a play standpoint and the financial restrictions that come with it. Like, whatever they would have had to pay Baker, because that was the big part of it, right, was they didn't want to give him a contract extension that was going to be too much because they didn't necessarily think that they wanted to pay him. Like, whatever they would have had to pay Baker, it would have paled in comparison to how this Deshaun thing has gone, and you would have at least had, you know, play that was commiserate to a team being competitive and in the playoffs, and there was a lot to be excited about at that time. So that's kind of like how it all went down, at least. But, in terms of, like, looking back on it, I think there certainly are a lot of fans who feel they got that one wrong for obvious reasons, and it's easy to say that when the Deshaun thing's gone as bad as it has.
Yeah, Spencer, last one from me, and we've got a coworker here who's going down to the game this week, and he's excited. And
okay.
I can only imagine how many Bills fans are going to be in attendance there, but his comment to Danger and I this morning, like, yeah, you know, that stadium in Cleveland, this was, you know, what, 6 years ago when the Bills were down there? It was nice, like, compared to what we have, and they're building a stadium. Why do you? Well, we know the reason, because you want something that makes a little bit more money. So this is happening, right? And I'm just wondering from the outside, Spencer, what is the reaction to that? Because I think, like, the lesson from baseball in the 70s was, like, they built all these stadiums and they called them cookie cutters. And I understand you want to build something that maybe makes a little bit more money, but how is this stadium going to look any different than all the other palaces that are going up? Are people actually excited about this? Give us the latest on the new Browns Stadium.
Yeah, you know, it's funny first that, like, an outside fan felt like the stadium's awesome. Like, because I think, like, the first time you go there, you're probably like, oh, this isn't a bad stadium. But as you cover games there consistently, play there consistently, there are obvious signs that when they built that stadium, it was a very rushed process. And that was all just due to, listen, the team had just come back. They were trying to just get something up so that they could field a football team and be able to, like, you know, bring the Browns back, essentially. So it was a rushed process. So as much as it's still, like, a younger stadium in that regard, it was only built in, you know, the late 90s, I think it probably is, you know, sort of, it's also in a bad spot on the lakefront. Like, just the weathering that goes on down there and all that, I think, is a problem. So there's a lot that goes into that in that decision. You know, I think the fan base has been kind of split. There's a lot of people who give you that classic, you know, old school football mentality of football is meant to be played outdoors in Cleveland, and we want. I'll tell you right now, having been in Chicago last weekend to cover the Bears Browns game, it was miserable walking outside when it was 4 degrees. Like, I appreciate the fact that at some point that thing's going to be covered. We're going to have this dome, and fans can come enjoy a game and, like, sit in climate controlled environment, not to be bundled up and, like, actually just enjoy the football game. So I think it's kind of split in that regard. The biggest thing, I think, is the team's getting moved out of downtown. And I think they're sort of going, like, the Foxborough route, where it's going to be like this, you know, sort of community space with restaurants and bars and stores and fronts and all those different things. So it is a little bit of a controversial thing. I think the hardest thing right now is, listen, like, they want people to buy into that. They put a survey out this year or earlier this season that kind of, like, hinted at what PSL prices could be. And you guys, I know, are dealing with that right now with the Bills. And it didn't go over well. People were like, this is what they want us to pay for a football team that's winning 3 games. So priority number one is to get them back into being the competitive team before that all kind of goes down in 2029. Because, you know, if they really want people invested into this new stadium, the number one way to do that is going to be fielding a winning product.
Yeah. Spencer, tell everybody about the work you're doing at the Fan in Cleveland and when we can catch you on the Odyssey app.
So a couple places you can find me for Browns content. Obviously, at 92 The Fan, I host our Saturday show, which right now during the season is 9 to 1. It'll go back to, I think, 8 to noon once we get into the off season. But you can find me there. I'm doing the Locked On Browns podcast, so you can find me there. And then any of my written content is over just at BrownsRoundtable.com. So appreciate you guys, as always, having me on. Thank you.
Thanks, Spencer. Good to talk to you, and happy holidays. Appreciate it, bud.
You too. Yep. Same
Thanks.
To you guys.
Thanks, Spencer. Spencer German from the Fan in Cleveland.
Love that. Good insight. Cleveland's a mess. I mean, I don't get the sense from anything Spencer said that anything is going to change in Cleveland. If they even think they have their core, let's say Shedeur Sanders is their guy, it feels as if they would screw that up because they had a guy. And if Baker was jettisoned because he was outspoken. What's Shador going to do? You think Shador is going to not hold back? Shador's not holding back. He'll be vocal. He'll speak out of turn. He'll alienate teammates through his words.
Like, as far as Baker, I don't think it's... He was immature. And part of his journey to where he is today, he had to take a little bit of humble pie. Okay? So, I think... I'm not going to put it all on the Browns there. And it's not just the Browns. Carolina had him. Like, they got rid of him, too. So, and Mayfield this year, his team 7-7. So
I think he's hurt. I think this season, Baker Mayfield feels very much like his last season in Cleveland, where he's playing through something. I don't think he's 100%.
Either that or just things are falling apart in general down there, too.
Well, interesting you mention the Bucs at 7-7, coming off a loss, a disappointing loss, where they gave up a big fourth quarter lead to the Atlanta Falcons. Our take of the year special continues next in the sports bar.
Boy, late entry.
Late entry, yeah. It includes an entry that occurred in the last week. But we will get to it. And our other nominees for 2025 take of the year. Also coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, a conversation with Andy Behrens from the Deep Shot. We'll talk some fantasy football as week 16 gets underway tonight in the Pacific Northwest. Right now, if you're caller 5 at 866-4FAN, we'll score you a $50 gift certificate to Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery, featuring one of Western New York's largest gluten-free menus. And in addition to pizza, you can stop in for some of their legendary carrot cake, chocolate dreamboat cake, and handcrafted cookie selections. 212 Rochester Street in Avon, now celebrating their 20th anniversary, open Tuesday through Sunday. It's Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery. $50 in free food is yours now if you call her 5 at 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.